From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell could be facing an ethics probe into whether he improperly created a judicial vacancy. The group Demand Justice had filed a complaint over the recent retirement in March of Judge Thomas B. Griffiths from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit. According to the New York Times, Senator McConnell has apparently been, quote, contacting appeals court judges nominated by Republican presidents to encourage them to retire so that Trump can replace them with conservative and far younger judges, and thereby ensure that those seats remain favorable to Republicans for decades. McConnell has made it clear that stacking the American judiciary with conservative judges is his number one priority. We turn to Lena Zwarenstein. She is the Fair Courts Campaign Director for the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. Welcome to the program, Lena.
Thank you, Sonali, for having me.
I want to focus first on the story of Judge Griffiths and the person being touted to replace him before we get to the broader issue of how Republicans, Trump, and McConnell are just remaking the entire judiciary. But this latest story seems to symbolize the lengths to which McConnell will go. So Judge Griffiths retired from a very coveted position, you know, on a very important court. And McConnell wants to replace him with a 37-year-old man named Justin Walker, who's only been a judge for a few months, and apparently is McConnell's protege. Can you give us your take on why the story is significant?
Yes, any judicial vacancy is really, really important because the judges who serve in those roles make decisions that impact all of our lives, whether that is access to healthcare, where and when we're able to vote, whether or not we get equal pay. And so each vacancy is particularly important. But as you know, Senator McConnell has a particular focus on circuit courts. And so already he has pushed through a conveyor belt of judicial confirmations and has already transformed about 30% of the circuit courts. The DC Circuit Court of Appeals, the one that you mentioned that Judge Griffith is retiring from or stepping down from in September, is a really important court. It's one of the powerful courts that we have in the country that decides critical, important issues regarding the constitutionality of legislation or the ability for the federal government to protect our civil rights or environmental protections and so on and so forth. So this particular seat is especially important. But as you say, this really is McConnell's pet project in order to transform the courts.
And thank you for that clarification. Griffiths announced he was retiring in March and the actual retirement is in September. So who is Justin Walker? I understand that he clerked for Brett Kavanaugh.
That's correct. He is a Brett Kavanaugh clerk. He is also a Mitch McConnell political prodigy, somebody that he has clearly been grooming over a number of years. So Justin Walker, as you mentioned, is 37 years old. He is somebody that really has grown up in Kentucky, but has a lot of experience, not so much in trials in courts or even, as you mentioned, just the past few months as a district court judge, but more experience being a spokesperson for Justice Kavanaugh throughout his entire confirmation hearing. A little bit about that that concerns us. One is that in lauding Justice Kavanaugh and trying to promote him, he gave over 160 media interviews, especially on Fox News, something he's joked about even recently as a district court judge, where he was really touting Justice Kavanaugh's what he would call his conservative warrior ability to sort of advance these conservative causes on the bench. He called him a warrior and was really talking about his cause in order to really try to promote a more dangerous view, in our view, of what the courts and judges should be doing. So in particular, he was calling on Justice Kavanaugh, saying that Justice Kavanaugh, while he was serving on that same, the court that Justin Walker has been nominated for, on the D.C. Circuit, where Justice Kavanaugh wrote a scathing dissent saying that he and Justin Walker defended him, saying Justice Kavanaugh wrote the roadmap to overturn the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act provides critical coverage for those who have pre-existing conditions, that allows those who are younger to stay on their parents' health insurance, and really provides life-saving critical care for those who need it most. And Justin Walker, in his comments there and later on, has said that the Affordable Care Act, in the decision by the Supreme Court to uphold its constitutionality, is indefensible and catastrophic. And that is especially concerning. So the nomination of Justin Walker right now adds insult to injury. McConnell's real agenda to try to push through judges right now amidst the pandemic is devastating.
So I understand that the American Bar Association had initially decided that Mr. Walker was not qualified to sit on a bench. Has that organization changed its position since?
So the organization did. The American Bar Association, as he was being considered for the federal district court, noted that he lacked trial experience. He did not have experience in the courtroom doing critical work that is necessary in order to be a judge. They have since said that he is a majority, would be well qualified, but a minority has said he would still not be qualified, and another minority said qualified. There is a slight distinction between the jobs of a district court judge and appellate judge. However, we still find that he is unqualified based on his positions, his very steadfast position that both the Affordable Care Act is unconstitutional, as well as his really dangerous view of what federal agencies that are there to help protect our civil rights, as well as clean water, clean air, and so on, his view of that as well.
Now, I understand that McConnell is so attached to Mr. Justin Walker that he even suspended the Senate in order to attend his inauguration as a judge.
That's correct. So on March 12th, when the Senate was trying to, and congressional leaders were trying to reach some conclusions about the types of relief and recovery we need to be doing right now, given the skyrocketing and unfortunate death rate, the illness that is really sweeping the nation, unemployment, the disruptions that this is having for our elections, and so on and so forth, Mitch McConnell made it his priority to leave the Senate, leave Washington, D.C., and shut down the Senate to go to Kentucky for the celebration of this investiture. It's a ceremony which was the swearing in of Justin Walker for this district court seat, along with Justice Kavanaugh. They traveled to Kentucky for that and left the Senate, unfortunately, so that they were unable to provide any relief to those of us who are really trying to are struggling during this pandemic.
So what is the basis of this ethics complaint? I mentioned that the group Demand Justice had filed this complaint, and that was then referred by another high judge to the Supreme Court, John Roberts. But I understand that Judge Griffiths has now said, this is the older judge who Walker would ostensibly replace, he has said that he was under no pressure to retire early. As far as you can tell, could McConnell actually face any ethics probe based on what he's done?
It's unclear about the specifics of this circumstance, which is why I understand that an investigation will be done. And so I think to your earlier point that McConnell's agenda is to really have the bench transformed, there are a significant number of questions, not just about this vacancy, but a lot of the ways in which McConnell is really trying to orchestrate this transformation of the courts.
So the the courts themselves, as you mentioned, some 30% of the circuit courts have now been remade by Trump. This seems to be more of a case of an unholy alliance between McConnell and Trump, because McConnell, and may explain why McConnell has defended Trump so much. There seems to be this very clear political agenda at work in terms of ensuring that there are conservatives dominating our judiciary. How does this compare to the way in which judges have traditionally been nominated and approved to sit on courts? It's not supposed to be a partisan exercise, right?
That's correct. We look for judges that are fair and impartial and ethical, and we want to make sure that the Senate does their responsibility. There is a constitutional responsibility for them to thoroughly vet these nominees, except McConnell, who has been aided by the Senate Judiciary Chairs. Previously, that was Chuck Grassley from Iowa, and now Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. to really destroy a lot of the norms that we would have used to see in place in order to do this thorough vetting. That is things like speeding up hearings or having hearings even like right now in the midst of a pandemic. They've held hearings in the middle of a recess where there were only one senator in attendance. They have really bypassed a number of the important checks that we have had in order to really speed up this conveyor belt of judicial confirmations in order to do this. And so this is not usual. We have really seen a real speed up in this. But what's concerning and the reason why is because the records of these nominees are often atrocious. And so I think that there's a deliberate attempt to try to hide them. But there's also a deliberate attempt to pick nominees who have really extreme records, nominees like Justin Walker, who have called the Supreme Court's decision to uphold the Affordable Care Act indefensible, or other nominees who have been part of Stephen Miller's immigration working group. And that's Stephen Menasche, who now sits on the Second Circuit. The other thing that I think is really remarkable about the trends that we're seeing in terms of the speed, but it is also the lack of diversity. So of the 56 appointments that Trump has made to the appellate courts, only one has been a Latinx person and zero have been African-American or Black. And out of those 56, only 11 are women. So not only is the speed at which they're doing this atrocious and it's done because of the ideologies of these, but they are also completely remaking the diversity of our courts, something that is so incredibly important to us, that our courts be actually fair, equitable, and represent all of us.
Now, Republicans have a majority in the Senate, 53 to 47. They do not actually need Democrats in order to confirm these appointments. However, there are some Democrats that do still vote with Republicans. And wasn't it the Democrats several years ago, in 2013, who changed the Senate rules to eliminate the 60-vote threshold required? Of course, that was because Republicans were filibustering every nominee.
That's correct. And actually, there were three nominees to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals because Republicans at that time in 2013 had said that we don't need any more judges on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. That times have clearly changed because even without a current vacancy, they are now trying to really speed through Justin Walker to that very court, the court that they said they didn't need any more judges on it. And so those rules changed. However, it was because, as you mentioned, the Republicans filibustered and did not let any of Obama's nominees go forward. So thus they had to change that threshold from 50 to a simple majority. That said, now we are seeing most of those norms and traditions that I've alluded to before really go by the wayside. So that vetting and is really gone away. And that is why probably we're seeing even more extreme nominees. This is very much the agenda. But the other thing you mentioned, Sonali, is that with the Republicans in the majority, it is incredibly important who controls that majority because you get to set the agenda in the calendar. And where your time and energy goes is a true reflection of your priorities. And we know that the Senate Republicans' true priority is to stack the bench with these extreme ideologues. And that is why they have done all the things that they have done in order to destroy the norms and to try to usher in this really extreme class of judges.
Right. McConnell has been overseeing what many call a legislative graveyard in the Senate. And essentially, his main task has been to push through these Senate confirmations of judicial nominees. And doing that even during this pandemic, when you would imagine that the one and only priority of Congress as a whole ought to be, relief from the economic collapse, safety standards, some sort of legislation to ensure that the United States recovers, as little problem as possible from this horrific pandemic, but he's still focused on confirming judicial nominees. And I understand that your organization, the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, along with dozens of other groups, wrote McConnell a letter asking him to put a pause on this, right?
That's correct. On Monday this week, we sent a letter with 40 other organizations demanding that Senate Majority Leader McConnell, as well as the Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Graham, put a pause on nominations right now. Vulnerable communities are hurting. We need relief. if the Senate is going to do anything, it needs to provide oversight into what's been done so we can account for what has happened, but also that we provide actual solutions to people who need it most, those frontline workers, communities that have been deeply impacted by this health crisis as well as economic crisis. It is abysmal that that is not is what is happening. In fact, for 2 days in a row, Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Graham has scheduled two meetings for the Senate Judiciary Committee, both only on judicial nominations. Wednesday's hearing was for Justin Walker. Thursday, is they're having a meeting with the agenda only having nominees in which they hope to rush out even more nominees so that the full Senate can vote on them. That is atrocious. The House has been passing, even before this pandemic has hit, great legislation, legislation that would provide real resources to people who need it most. But that has really, as you said, become part of the legislative graveyard. And the reason why McConnell is doing and pushing forward judges as opposed to legislation is because he believes his agenda can be served on the courts for decades to come. And they will likely, should legislation like that ever pass, with his judges, really potentially strike down a lot of those laws that we would love to see happen because they do protect our civil rights. They do protect access to healthcare. They do protect our elections.
So the strategy seems clear that if these Republicans can get, if McConnell can get currently Republican-leaning but older judges to retire during Trump's tenure, they can replace them with perhaps even more conservative judges who are far younger and who can therefore represent, because these, a lot of these are lifetime appointments, who can represent decades more of decision-making. This was, sounds like essentially what was done with the vacancy under Obama created by Antonin Scalia's death, with McConnell standing in the way of Merrick Garland and ensuring that Neil Gorsuch got picked by Trump, but perhaps even more so in convincing Justice Kennedy to retire early so that Brett Kavanaugh could replace him. This is a strategy that goes all the way to the Supreme Court, at least on the surface, it seems.
Yeah, and whether McConnell is behind all of this or not, it certainly is his priority. Trump, during his campaign, was talking all about how he would be nominating people who would devastate the Affordable Care Act, who would gut Roe versus Wade. And that is a big mission of theirs in doing this and getting through their agenda through the courts, because they can't do it legislatively. So this really is very much their laser-like focus. They're not ashamed of it. And they're really leaving, communities in the lurch right now as they're not actually trying to provide any relief. This really is their priority.
There was a report of a non-surgical gallbladder procedure that Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg underwent recently, and it seems anytime she undergoes any medical procedure, nearly the entire country takes a deep breath and has a minor freak out because, her retiring from that court could have devastating consequences if it were to happen during Trump's tenure, right?
That's correct. Whether that is Justice Ginsburg, who I know is tough and strong and called into oral arguments even this morning because she takes her job so seriously, or any other justice, any vacancy that we see on the Supreme Court is incredibly important. So yes, we wish her well, and we hope that we don't see Supreme Court vacancies in the near future, especially while we have a president who does not care for our civil and human rights. And so we really are, aware and tracking what might be happening there. But certainly, as we're talking about all of these circuit court nominations, a lot of these seats tend to be the pipeline for those Supreme Court seats. So nominees like Justin Walker are really important to be paying attention to, because there's a chance, should there be a vacancy in the future, he could become Justice Walker. And that is a scary thought.
Is there anything the Democrats can do? And is there anything the American public can do? I mean, it seems as though we're sort of helplessly watching this happen.
It sometimes feels like that, but we're not helpless. We can call and we can act and we can educate people. The courts are incredibly important to everything that we care about. So it is really important that people become engaged, that people call their senators and tell them to oppose nominees like Justin Walker, tell them that they care about the tell them that they care about healthcare, which is why they care about the courts. All of that message to getting through to Senate Democrats or Senate Republicans is crucial because that accountability means something. Senators need to be responsive to their constituents and they need to be called out. The other thing folks can do is obviously talk to their neighbors and their friends and talk to them just about how important the courts are. We need judges who are committed to our civil and human rights. The judges that have been confirmed recently have been selected because they are the antithesis of that. And so it's really important that right now we hold them accountable and that in the future we are urging good judges to be put on the bench, judges who are fair and committed to our civil and human rights.
And basically, it seems as though for those people who believe in progressive or liberal values and in general, you know, just back basic things like human rights, civil rights, women's reproductive justice, there is a difference between Democrats and Republicans when it comes to the White House, when it comes to the Senate in particular. Neither of those houses, of course, dominated by Democrats right now, but that could change in November.
That's correct. Hopefully we have more people who are committed to our civil and human rights and who will find and select judges who have that commitment. But it really does take all of us to be part of that. The future is what we're doing right now. And so having this conversation is really, really important. And every action that we take between now and in November, but then also, you know, beyond that is going to be really, really critical because this is going to be a decades, maybe centuries long project in order to make sure that our courts are fair, that they are reflective and representative of our country. We are an imperfect union that is trying to become more and more perfect, and we need to really be active in doing this.
Well, Lena, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out the website for your organization.
Certainly. It is civilrights.org.
That's civilrights.org. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Lena Zwarenstein, Fair Courts Campaign Director at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. We've been discussing President Trump and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's remaking of the American judiciary. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.